countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children. Once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 13th, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. anyway, if you need help with anything after this program, call me. If you need to make sure that you, I'm sorry I got off track here, but if you need help with anything off their program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And while we're talking about prayer requests, folks, remember, if you have a prayer request and you can't reach me by phone, or you want me to take it before the rest of Messiah's Branch, you need to send me that letter either by email or preferably by postal mail, and I will anoint it with oil and we will pray over it at the service. And then if you want it back, make sure you make a note, say, I'd like to have the letter back after you prayed over it and after it's been anointed with oil, and we will put it in an envelope and mail it back to you. And, of course, at no cost at all, what you, a stamp is not going to make us or break us. And if a stamp was going to make us or break us, we would be really bad off, wouldn't we? But anyway, I have something else to talk about before we get into the normal stuff. Let's go with this. You know, folks, we're coming up on Elul, which is the 12th and final month in God's calendar. It's a month that connects with the past year and the coming year, and when we reflect on where we stand and where we should be going, it's called the month of repentance. As we're heading into Yom Kippur. But anyway, it's called the month of repentance, the month of mercy, the month of forgiveness. Elul follows the two previous months of Tammuz and Av, the months of tragedies which was brought upon us by our sins. In Tammuz, the Jews sin with the golden calf on Rosh Kadosh Elul. Moses ascended to Mount Sinai for a third 40-day period until Yom Kippur, when he descended with the second set of tablets and God's word of joyful, wholehearted forgiveness. The first time Moses ascended was to retrieve the first tablets. The second time was after the sin, to ask for forgiveness. The third time was to receive the second set of tablets. These were the days that Yahweh revealed to the Jewish people great mercy. Since then, this time has been designated as a time of mercy and forgiveness, an opportunity for repentance. The four letters of the name Elul are an acronym for the phrase in the Song of Psalms 6:3. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. I am to my beloved. We approach Yahweh, or our Father, with a desire to return and connect. My beloved is to me. Yahweh represents with divine expressions of mercy and forgiveness. It is said this is the month when the king is in the field and the King of Kings is accessible. Of course, as being born again Christians, we know that our Father is always accessible through his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. All can approach him, and he shines his countenance to all who will repent and seek his mercy. The key thing here is that if this country or the people repent, it is the last month. This is the last month of the Shemitah year, and the blessing or judgment comes after. So what are we going to get this year, blessing or a judgment? Has America repented? Has it kept the Shemitah year? 7 years ago when this happened, the stock market crashed. So Elul starts on August 16th this year and ends on September 13th, the day before Rosh Hashanah, or rather, the Feast of Trumpets. So remember, folks, those things as you go into this program tonight. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And our program archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. You can find a link to the branch.podomatic sign at prophecyhour.com. There's a link on the right-hand side that says End Time Radio Archives, and make sure you tune in and share them with others. Now we'll get a prayer and bring on tonight's guest and get on with our, topic tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my guest's will, nor my will, but your will, Father. So please give everyone out their ears and words to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, you'll recognize the name when I say it, at least most of you will. He's been on with us many times before, and we keep bringing him back because so many people like to hear what he has to say. He's an Army veteran that served his country in Korea. Thank you for your service. And he's traveled the country as an evangelist, and there is much more to his story, and you can find all about him and about his ministry at SureWordOfProphecy.org. That's also the name of his ministry, Sure Word of Prophecy. Tonight, he's going to talk about this subject, Islam's Psychopathic Strategy for World Domination. Well, welcome back, Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Grace to you, Pastor Dan. Thanks for your invitation, brother.
It's yeah,
always,
amen.
Always awesome to be on the program with you.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I have still, even after the few years that I've been using, I use Skype instead of a telephone, and it's just like dead silent. And, you know, once in a great while, all of a sudden, when I don't even hear a buzzing, I have an anxiety attack. Am I connected? You know? and I did that a few minutes ago. I went, am I connected? You know? And I went, oh, okay, yeah, I'm on Skype. All right. Anyway, but see, none of us are perfect. Thank the Father that he sent his son. Anyway, you seem to have picked a touchy subject, depending on how you approach it, Steve.
Well, brother, it is a very, very big subject that's in your face all over the world. And I'm very alarmed. I'm sitting back watching some of the most heinous atrocities that the world has ever witnessed since the Holocaust under the auspice of Islam, under submission. And most of our society is standing back in willful ignorance, thinking that it will be defeated and eventually go away. And our president is afraid to call it what it is. And there seems to be a timidity toward confronting this growing beast, which is recruiting warmonging psychopaths from countries all over the world to join in the fight against those opposed to their maniacal strategy that's taking over the world. And this may sound like a stretch, but I'm convinced this is a very real threat. What about you, brother?
Well, it's an absolute threat. I myself personally believe that the Antichrist is going to be an Islamic Antichrist, and so I don't take this subject lightly. I believe that some of these people that we see out there fighting and are actually the armies of the Antichrist.
Yes, evidently, and it's through the epitome of war and through crisis. We'll bring this on and bring forth those who say they have a solution to the problem. And it's going to get worse and worse, according to Yeshua. And I believe that what we see is extremely prophetic. Now, you know, I use the word psychopathic, and it may be out of line for some and maybe a little bit severe to most folks, but I looked up the definition. It seemed to fit the genre of this movement that I'm speaking of. And the terminology of psychopathic means suffering from or constituting a chronic mental disorder with abnormal or violent social behavior. Now, in light of this definition, consider the statement given by the Islamic State's chief spokesman just recently, who called on Muslims in Western countries, such as France and Canada, to find an infidel and smash his head with a rock, poison him, run him over with a car, or destroy his crops. And to Western ears, the biblical-sounding punishments, the stoning and crop destruction, is synonymously used with strangely more modern-sounding calls to vehicular homicides. And I know that these people at least are jealous enough in their faith to follow their holy book and the writings of the prophet who teaches writings such as this. In Surah, in the Quran, it says, "Be not weak-hearted in the pursuit of the enemy. If you suffer pain, then surely they too will suffer pain as you suffer pain. Is pursuing an injured or retreated enemy really an act of self-defense? Do you think, you know, that's what they say about this verse? Well, what about this Surah in 533 that says, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. And this shall be a disgrace for them in this world, and in the hereafter they shall have grievous chastisement. Or what about the surah that says this, Brother Ben Dan? I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. You see, this thing that is gathering momentum around the world is following this book that has a religion built on a so-called prophet who grabbed a hold of a six-year-old and finally, at the age of nine, consummated the marriage and had sex with her. And over here, we call it child molestation. And I don't want to be hard on a particular a group of people who are sincere, but they can be absolutely sincerely wrong. And I think it's high time that we speak out against such of these atrocities. More than Hitler's maniacal pursuits, we find Islam spreading its tentacles around the world. And I understand it's just like Christianity. You know, there are a lot of people who are sitting in churches who don't have a clue what the book says. You know, and then they follow the shepherds and they say, well, that guy's a nice preacher and I'm going to follow this because I kind of like the way things go here. Well, and in Islam, there are a lot of ignorant people who don't know what their holy book says. But the ones who are diligent and do understand the book are spreading their tentacles across the depths of this earth in carnage, converging upon this small yet troubled planet. And, you know, brother, I don't know about you, but it's really beginning to be very troublesome to me.
Okay. Let me come in here a moment, because I really do know a lot on this subject. I had a fellow on here, Steve, if you haven't ever heard of him, he's called IQ Al, goes by the name of IQ Al Razuli, which is not his real name. But we did one summer, we did probably 10 programs. And Al Razuli is a Muslim. But he talks about he calls them the Mohammedan Muslims. Mm-hmm. And he goes into this thing of Islam, and we had some very good programs that explained all about what you said about the prophet and so on and so forth. So I do know quite a little bit straight from the Muslim's mouth on this subject. Anyway, point being is the first thing, when you call somebody, they call these guys, they say, well, they're radicalized Muslims. Well, they're not actually a radicalized Muslim. The ones that are actually out there doing the fighting and doing the things that they did according to the Quran, they are just what we would call fundamentalists. In other words, they're really following the word of their belief, because that is their absolute belief. The Muslim religion has always been a religion not of peace but of war. Look how they treat their own people. They have more of a love of death than they do of life. As far as Muhammad is, that would take hours to go into to who that fellow was. But going back to the West, so, you know, when we see a Muslim that's being peaceful and loving and kind, that Muslim really isn't following the Muslim religion. It's something else. But even those ones, they are not. They should be speaking up and speaking out against these others, but they don't. And I think the big thing is the fear factor. Just like you told me before the program, you said, well, we don't have to do this subject if you're afraid of getting your head lopped off, or, you know what I mean, being harassed or whatever. And truly, you know, the Word of God says that in the end times that you would be, your head would be cut off if you know, for not, you know what I mean, for attaining to Christ. And that's what's happening all over the Middle East.
Yes.
And around the world. People don't get it. The things that it's talking about in the Bible, because they have a Western view of things, they just don't get it, that we're in the end times. The Bible saying that Christians would be headed for the witness is happening right now by the people that the Bible said it would be, these people that do it. Back to you.
Yes, brother. When John was told to take the book, which is open in the hand of the angel, and he whipped the angel, and the angel gave him the little book, and he said, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And the prophet John said, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And then he said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And the reality of, from a scriptural standpoint, brother, there is one book that I, as you are well aware, I lift up before the masses, and that's the book of Daniel. I believe this little book, when you grab a hold of it, it's sweet to you, you know, because it's a bittersweet experience to know the book, to know for a certainty that the Bible can be trusted as truth, and because you see these things coming to pass. It's so sweet to understand our position in the eye of the Almighty and His promises of the kingdom to come, and as Daniel puts it, the time will come when the kingdom will be possessed by His faithful someday, and the lame will jump for joy, the blind will see, the deaf will be the final enemy that will be put under the foot. No more pain, no more death. Jehovah will wipe every tear from our eyes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. This wretched man that I am, Brother Dan, will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll see our Savior coming with the clouds of all the with all the holy angels to rescue and redeem His purchased possession. Yeshua is coming? Yes, Yeshua is coming. Oh, what a sweet taste this brings. But then, as these truths sink down deep into my soul, as these prophecies are fully digested, the reality of what the prophet saw and prophesied that would take place in these days before His return are very, very troublesome. The wise man once proclaimed, knowledge increases sorrow. And it's incredibly sweet and an honor to see and recognize these prophecies coming to pass. Yet, on the other hand, Pastor Dan, there are days of darkness ahead of us. And in these coming days, it will be very bitter reality that we will feel deep in our guts. And those who taste of this truth must share this with the nations. And this word of hope and warning must go out to every person. And the little book that was digested in the book of Revelation chapter 10 and 11, of course, there were no chapter divisions in the original transcript.
Yeah, amen.
When the book was eaten, the focus went and alluded to a period of judgment. And then the focus went to a place called the holy city, which would be trampled down underneath the foot of the non-Jewish nations for 42 months. And immediately after John experienced bitterness, he saw this 42-month period, and where you find this 42-month period in any of the other books of Scripture is found in the book of Daniel. And there are several places in Daniel that connects this three-and-a-half-year time period together. And I'd like to just take you to one for a moment, if you don't mind. That's
found
in Daniel 12, verse 6. I'm going somewhere with this, so if it's not clear, hopefully it'll be clear here in just a minute.
Okay.
Because I believe that the prophecies are, it's sweet to understand them. It's sweet to understand the things that are coming on the earth, and when we understand, we need to bunker down because there is a storm approaching, as we've said many times. In the book of Daniel, there is this time prophecy. As the little book was eaten, and it said, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, kindred, and tongues. In the book of Daniel, the same time prophecy connects this prophecy with Daniel, with Revelation 10. And in verse 6 of chapter 12 of Daniel, it says, there's a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, said, how long will be the fulfillment of these wonders? Then he heard a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half a time, when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, and all these things will be finished. Bottom line, Brother Dan, the holy people, the holy place, will be trampled upon and completely shattered, and this is connected to a specific three-and-a-half-year period. When the question was asked how long it would be to the end of these wonders, the question was directly related to the visions given before it, and the command to seal up the book and the words of the visions of the book, and then Daniel was ordered, go your way, because they're sealed up until the time of the end. And as you're fully aware in a lot of our past programs, I believe that is the book of Daniel, and it's significantly attached to the end. In addition, Yeshua specifically singled the Old Testament prophet out when he spoke of the events leading up to the ultimate deliverance and gathering of his elect to eternal life. In this little book, it speaks of a major war that eventually kicks off a time clock in the heavens, and specific times, specific countries, and conditions that eventually usher in a global entity, a global mandate, and an overwhelming scourge of carnage, deception, that eventually brings on a prophesied desolation upon the whole world. And in my opinion, this little book and the eating of the book and the unsealing of the book is also directly related to the taking off of the seals in the book of Revelation, which connected when Yeshua is brought to the throne room of Yahweh to grab the book out of the right hand of him which sits on the throne. Now, I don't think I've ever made this connection, but bear with me.
Hold that thought, because it's now, we're 1 minute away from break. And so now's the time, to tell people where they can find all of the other things you do, radio programs and all that. Tell us where your website's at.
Brother, I'm at surewordprophecy.org. And if you like prophecy, I try to put things there that are relevant to a prophecy enthusiast. I keep an eye on the world and put a lot of prophetic news on there that a lot of people tap into every day. And I think it's wise to watch. So go over there and check it out. There's a lot of great things for it.
Folks, that's surewordprophecy.org. And if you're listening, right now we're on live, but if you listen to this program in radio archives, wherever you find that in the radio archives, then there should be a link to this program, and there will be a link to, of course, his website, is what I'm trying to say. Right back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. A Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need: first aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, and we're also simulcast on the net, so that means we are an international radio program. Isn't that fascinating in this world? Never thought we would get to this point, that everything would be so easy just to connect to the other side of the world. But remember, I need your prayers tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. You know, we keep getting, this economy is really like, you know, if you really look at some interesting things come out during the election process, like one, real unemployment is like 25 to 26, maybe even, well, if you believe Trump, it's like 40%. But so if we get between 25 and 40% unemployment, that's pretty bad. We also realize that even looking at it, the numbers, we're only a couple of points away from where we were at with the Great Depression. Imagine that. But so there's more and more people, and they're going to places for help. There's less money out there, you know, to donate to ministries and different things, especially ours. Because, you know, we're not some big, huge organization. We're just a little tiny mission church. But because we have no set guidelines, you know, people come to us for help. They don't have to be worry about filling out a piece of paper and getting one thing wrong on it, and so their family doesn't get a meal. So, you know, pray about that. We really do need your help. It's been summertime, and in the summertime, we see children coming in and families, and we just need your help, folks. My wife, you know, how she's been supplementing food. We got a huge donation here a while back of some Y2K food, which there's nothing wrong with dehydrated vegetables and things. But she uses those dehydrated vegetables to go along with the meat, the money for the meat that we, well, not for the money for the meat, but the meat that we do put in and make meals with. But the point is, you know, we're running on shoestrings, but we're still feeding the people. Nobody's going away hungry. And the people are still coming and coming and coming, and more people. And they need all kinds of things, Bibles, over-the-counter medications. That's a real big one. We haven't been able to buy none in a while. We need pain relievers really bad. Can you imagine being outside, living under a bridge, and having a toothache or headache and not even having an aspirin? Well, you know, no agency will give those things out, but we give them out. That is when we have it. So we really do need your help. And right now, summertime, we really need to go over the Mission Church and do a facelift. That means do a little bit of painting and some cleanup and things before wintertime comes. So pray about it. You know, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only like 50 people like you that have supported us at now that we're in our 16th year that make this mission church. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. And they're treated as family. Second, beyond that, like I said, we have no set guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. And then we pray the way in to fill the need. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Imagine that. We are the last hope for so many, and we are, brothers and sisters, supposed to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And you folks that listen to us in Wichita, you know, pray about it. Especially if you've got clothing that you're not using and it's clean, I don't want anything dirty or ratty, but if you've got clothing that you want to give away, you're thinking about giving it to the Goodwill or something, bring it down. We can use it. Actually, we can, when you clean out a house or move or something, think about those things too, because we have people that are consistently transitioning from the street to house back and forth. And so we need those kind of things. So pray about bringing it down. And eggs, we can always use eggs. Bring as many eggs as you can. So Wichita, there's lots of ways you can help other than donate money. But, folks, we do need your money because, as you know, lights, electricity, gas, water, all of those things cost. So pray about it. Pray about a donation tonight as we're in the middle of the month and we haven't even been able to restock this month. But the Father has never let us down. And we do have what we need when we need it, according to His will. Anyway, you can call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to, but you can go to prophecyhour.com and find all the information, how to donate online, mail a check or money order. And now let's get back with Steve Henderson and see if he's still listening to us. Are you with us, Steve?
I am just absolutely intrigued with your ministry, brother, and as you share your heart for the poor and the afflicted. Man, what an awesome thing you're doing. And I just would encourage your listeners to get behind you because there's no greater task in the face of Christianity today than to sow seeds, good seeds, cultivate the soil and then plant the seed. And then it's Yahweh's business to bring it out of the ground, brother. And thank you for the who knows how many hundreds of thousands of seeds you've sowed for him, and your crown is going to have many, many stars on it, I'm sure. So keep up the good work, brother.
Yeah, amen. I appreciate it. You know, we're just too happy to serve. We believe that we're just doing what's natural, that everybody should, you know, be caring, loving one for another. You know, when you read the book of Acts, that's what they did. They took everything, they held it in common, and they gave everybody according to their need. And I'm not telling everybody that they've got to give up every dime that they have, but, you know, we are supposed to care for the poor. We're supposed to care for the widows and orphans. We're supposed to look out for each other. And, you know, it's a blessing to me and my family and Messiah's Branch because, you know, we serve the Father by serving others. And when people see us doing that and being different, when it comes time for that miracle prayer and they want salvation, you know, they come to us, you know, and so many times. And miracle prayers, we've seen so many healings. It's just, you know, it's just wonderful. It's a blessing. Amen. Messiah's Branch, doing what we do is not work. It's enjoyment because we love it so much. It's just, you know. Anyway, back to our subject.
Well, Brother Dan, even though we have all the knowledge of the prophetic word, yet we have not love. And love is a verb. It's an action word. And so, you know, it demonstrates itself in living color. And you might be the only Bible that someone reads, and that love that you have for others, well, if they see the good fruit on your tree, then they'll be interested in what you have to share as far as prophecy and in helping you out. So bless you, brother. Well, let's go back to the throne room for a moment. The throne room has a judgment scene. In Daniel 7, and I believe those who are studying diligently the prophecies see an earthly movement, and then the prophet shifts to a heavenly movement. And during the time of the gathering together of the nations together at the time of trouble, the prophet declares, "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was as a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open." And then the prophet sees the Son of Man come into his Father in this particular vision. In Revelation, we see a similar scenario from a different angle. And the revelator in chapter 5, in verse 1 and 2, says, "I saw the Son of Man, the right hand of him who sat on the throne, had a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?'" Of course, we understand there's only one that was worthy. And the prophet declares, "I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, as in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." There is much speculation, you know, as far as what happens when these seals are unloosed. But we find here that in these passages, the Son of Man grabs a hold of the book from the right hand of the Father and begins to unloose the seals. And there's much speculation as to the timing and apparently what's commonly referred to as the four horsemen. And I've heard and read many expositions concerning the book of Revelation, and in many instances, when it comes to seals of Revelation, a lot of expositors put these seals in a historical dispensational narrative, and some propagate they only apply to the ones that live after the rapture, or some believe that they have put different times on them. But I hold to the personal belief that based upon my conviction and watchfulness and comprehension of the prophetic word, we are at this present moment, Pastor Dan, witnessing the beginning conditions which were prophesied as the scroll is unsealing. And it's very obvious that these seals are connected to judgment, and that there is a certain time when the events begin to change for the worse on planet Earth as a result of the removal. And most expositors understand that the horseman riding on the white horse, the first seal that's unloosed, is going out doing something in an appearance of good, and is conquering. The color of white, of course, in prophecy symbolizes the name of good and righteousness, and but the beginning of sorrow starts out with a movement going out into the world that conquers many. This movement will go out as something good, but it will ultimately bring worsening conditions on the earth. And something in the message of this white horseman stirs up a terrific unrest on the earth. And it may be a propaganda to get rid of evildoers. Whatever the declaration, it could be the declaration of the hour of judgment, the gospel going out. However you interpret that, whatever that may be in your own mind and your own thinking, it brings on fatal results. And as a movement to conquer goes out, great unrest develops in the world. And for my purpose, I want to focus on what happens as a result of what happens after the rider on the white horse is unsealed. In Revelation 6, in 3 and 4, it says this: "When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come and see.' And the prophet sees another horse, fiery red, that went out. And please note, it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." Now, evidently, when this seal is unloosed, you're going to find, number one, that the writer is taking peace from the earth. And with war and bloodshed, by a great sword is given to him, it will be the results of this that's going to commence in the unsealing of the second seal. And for years, Pastor Dan, I've contemplated how this could all pan out. And brother, I see a force riding around the earth that has this very mindset. And it's out in the open for all of us to see. Their intent is to put the nations under their feet, and they have clearly expressed their intent and have a strategy to get their goals accomplished. And at this present moment, I'm looking at the possibilities we may be on the very verge of these prophecies of judgment developing before our very eyes. You know, it was very reflect back on 9/11. A war on terror was pronounced by this great nation. A coalition of nations got involved in the West, and good went after the evil. And it came to the Middle East. And through war on terror, many Middle Eastern countries became very alarmed by the invasion of their countries by those who bombed and conquered and killed and destroyed many countrymen and actually cities. They bombed them to death. And as a result of these foreign invaders, the hornet's nest of Islam was awakened. And since the war on terrorism expanded into other Islamic countries, a terror machine has been birthed that has plans for payback and takeover, and before our very eyes, peace is being taken from the earth. How do you see that, brother?
I agree with you fully. And peace is being taken from the earth. You know, one thing about those birth pains is just like that. The beginning of the sorrows is birth pains. You know, we have to remember that you know, while these times, it's going to be just like a woman in travail. I mean, but with the pains coming and then little spots of rest in between, but something really, really wonderful comes at the end. And that's what I try to focus on, is the wonderful thing that happens after all of this pain that
Absolutely, brother. Yes, there's a beautiful day coming after the storm passes over, and that storm won't be here forever. But we better be bunkering down. And
yeah,
all
amen.
The alarming issues that our world is confronting today, radical Islam is the most clear and present danger, in my opinion. And on one hand, we have the Islamic State, and as we can determine, Pastor Dan, the Islamic State strategy is found in countless propaganda videos and satirals, and most are online for you to take a look at, and the caliphate supporters have toiled mightily to make their project knowable. And we can gather that their state rejects peace as a matter of principle, and it hungers for genocide, and its religious views make it constitutionally incapable of certain types of change. It will not change. It will not submit. We are to submit underneath their foot. And even if that change might ensure its survival, that it considers itself a harbinger of and a headline player in the imminent end of the world. The Islamic State follows a distinct variety of Islam whose beliefs about the path to the Day of Judgment is a matter to its own strategy. And you look at articles that I'm looking at here today, just today, I read an article that says, ISIL claims deadly truck bombing at Baghdad market. August 13th, today, a police source said 53 people died and over 100 others were injured as a refrigerator truck packed with explosives and carefully camouflaged with vegetables and fruits detonated at a wholesale vegetable market in a Shiite bastion of Sadr City in the eastern Baghdad district. The German Defense Ministry today announced that the Kurdish forces are being attacked with chemical weapons by the Islamic State. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that as we look around us, we need to pull our head out of the sand, because this group is hell-bent on taking over the world, whether we recognize that or not. Recently, I read, this is an article from last week, out of an Indian newspaper. It says, new ISIS document reveals a grand plan to wage war in India and trigger Armageddon. This article says, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria's grand ambition is to ignite a war in India, build a new terror armor in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and provoke an Armageddon-like end-of-the-world situation. The 32-page document titled A Brief History of the Islamic State Caliphate has been obtained by America Media Institute and says the caliphate, according to the prophet, seeks to unite various terror factions in Afghanistan and Pakistan into a single army. And this is they took this off of USA Today reports. The document, which highlights never-seen-before history of ISIS, describes future battle plans and urges al-Qaeda to join the group. It says that the self-styled Islamic State leader should be recognized as the sole ruler of the world's 1 billion-strong Muslim population under a religious empire called caliphate. It also warns that preparations are for an attack in India and predicts that an attack will provoke an apocalyptic, listen, confrontation with America. The document also urges the world to swallow the bitter truth that the caliphate will survive and prosper until it takes over the entire globe and beheads every last person who rebels against Allah. Since then, there have been an inflow of jihadists that followed from around the world and are unprecedented in its pace and volume, and is continuing. As we speak, Islamic terrorists are extending their tentacles throughout the world while the world stands back and is watching dumbfoundedly as we're realizing peace is being removed from the earth before our very eyes. Its objectives, war, bloodshed, and death to the infidels of enemies of Islam. You know, brother, many foreign leaders around the world are understand the dilemma of this global war confronting us, and it seems like we're one of the least involved, at least ones that really understand it. The French Prime Minister, he says, we cannot lose this war because it's fundamentally a war of civilization. It is our society, our civilization that we are defending. And right now in France, there are a lot of Islamic adherents over there trying to enforce Sharia law on the French people. From the Middle Eastern Media Research Institute, it proclaims that we have 50 million Muslims in Europe. And there are signs that Allah will grant Islam victory in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. The 50 million Muslims of Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades. Out of China, the leader of the Turkestan Islamic Party, which took credit for the hacking of 33 commuters at a Chinese train station, says this: we are working until we make Allah's religion supreme, and we live a precious life in the shadow of Islamic Sharia law, or else be rewarded with martyrdom in the cause of Allah. We are plotting for the Chinese to suffer the torture of Allah, or else by our own hands. And the statements go on and on, but I know I'm running out of time. Egypt, in the credence of the Muslim Brotherhood, says Allah is our objective. The Quran is our own constitution, the Prophet is our leader, jihad is our way, and death for the sake of Allah is our highest of our aspirations. Now, I want to take you to Iran, and I don't have much time left, but I want you to note that we've just made a deal with the devil. And right now, the Ayatollah Khomeini over there is just laughing and scoffing at what kind of a deal we have made, and nothing has changed, really. But here's what he says about his concept of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He says, those who know nothing of Islam pretend that Islam counsels against war. Those who say this are witless. Islam says, kill all the unbelievers just as they would kill you all. Kill them, put them to the sword, and scatter their armies. Again, he says, Islam says, whatever good there is exists thanks to the sword, in the shadow of the sword. People cannot be made obedient except with a sword. The sword is a key to paradise, which can be opened only for holy warriors. And there are hundreds of other Quranic psalms and hadiths urging Muslims to value war and to fight. Does all this mean that Islam is a religion that prevents men from waging war? I spit upon those foolish souls who make such a claim. And brother, we are in the middle of watching Iran growing larger and larger. The little book has been eaten. I really have been excited about the prophecies, but it's really becoming bitter to me in recognizing what we're facing on a worldwide scale and what their evil intent is. The Islamic Republic of Iran is in throughout the Middle East, and right after we made the deal with the devil, the Iranian Quds general went straight up to Russia and talked with Putin. Now Putin has sent two war destroyers down into the Iranian waters, and they're doing war games. Something is going on, and most of us are just absolutely ignorant. And here's Obama. He says this: the future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. Experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. Brother, we're in trouble.
We're in
deep trouble. Pope Francis, considered one of the biggest religious leaders that's trampling around the globe at this moment, says authentic Islam and the proper reading of the Quran are opposed to every form of violence. And he has suitably called for a dialogue and announced violence in virtually every situation. So he could go there, display the correctness of his recommendations by initiating an in-person dialogue with the caliph and other Islamic State representatives, during which he can explain to them how they are misunderstanding the Quran and Islam. And that's its goal, is try to unite Christianity and Islam together. And we have Rick Warren. Who has come out in the open and say, hey, it's going to take a team here to fight war and poverty, and he's inviting Islam in the Christian sector. So, brother,
and that's Chrislam. That's Chrislam. Let's go with this, and then I'll let you say your goodbyes. He who denies the Son denies also the Father, you know, and Islam says Allah has no Son. They deny Christ as the Son of God. And so there is no way that a Christian should, according to the Word of God, should even sit down and have dinner with these people, because that's what the Word says. But the problem is unlike these Islamists that are going by their Quran, people aren't going by the Word of God. Well, I got to go. Why don't you give them your website, and we'll do it again.
It's surewordprophecy.org. And friends, I'm not trying to pick on Islam. I think that Yahweh is going out, and there are a lot of people receiving dreams and visions about Yeshua. We are to go out and to love them regardless, and share the love, because there is no such thing as love in Islam. Let's go out and share the love with them, and through our efforts to share that love with them, maybe they will turn to the author of eternal salvation, Yeshua.
Steve, let me say this to you before you jump out of here. My next guest is Joel Richardson, you know, and he wrote The Islamic Antichrist and some other books and DVDs. You know, he goes over there and witnesses to them and brings them to Messiah.
Hallelujah.
And he teaches people how to do the same. That should be our attitude. Anyway, I got to go. I'm over time. All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Love you, brother.
Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Joel Richardson will be up in an hour. We must remember there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children. Once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas. 6-6-8-5-1 or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.